Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever put on your clothes with the inner surface turned outward and then unintentionally worn them publicly that way, inside out? If so, you probably know the embarrassment that one can feel. In today's gospel reading, Jesus speaks about a somewhat similar inside out, repeatedly using words such as inside and outside, and going in and going out. But more than one's feeling embarrassment from having clothes turned inside out, in the gospel reading, when what is inside comes out, one is defiled. One's relationship with God is destroyed. This morning, as we reflect on today's gospel reading, we do so under the theme inside out, and we will notice how different uses of that expression all apply. Today's gospel reading picks up St. Mark's divinely inspired gospel account right where last week's gospel reading left off. Last week we heard the Pharisees and scribes ask Jesus why his disciples ate with what the Jewish leaders considered unclean or defiled hands. And Jesus in turn criticized them for using traditions that made void the word of God. Today we heard Jesus command the people to hear him and understand that there is nothing outside of people going in that can defile them, but the things inside of people that come out are what defile them. When Jesus' disciples privately asked him about that statement, he criticized them for their lack of understanding and further explained what he meant, contrasting the stomach with the heart. And then Jesus listed some of the evil thoughts inside that come out of the human heart in the form of acts and vices that defile. This past Wednesday, Tyler Watts and I represented Pilgrim at the East Texas Baptist University Church Day. And so we had the opportunity to talk to a number of students there about their faith lives. One student and I ended up talking about so-called gay marriage in both society and in some so-called churches. The student remarked that people often say that Jesus himself never condemns homosexuality. And I referred the student to today's gospel reading, in which Jesus mentions sexual immorality using a Greek word that includes all unnatural sexual practices, including homosexuality. And yet you and I might focus in too much on that particular sin, to the extent that we might minimize or overlook all the other sins that Jesus mentions: theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and religious foolishness. The complete list of 12 vices might bring to mind such catalogs of vices from Greek philosophy, or perhaps, more likely for most people, the commandments that today's Old Testament reading mentioned we should pass along to our children and our grandchildren. And yet we seem to do a better job passing along hearts and natures that, apart from God, are completely evil and sinful, producing such vices, breaking the commandments, and warranting death now and for eternity. God knows us very thoroughly, inside out, we might say. And sadly, too often others can also tell what is inside of us by what comes out of us. To be sure, God calls all people to repent of their sinful natures and all of their sin. The notorious sexual sinners of Jesus' day answered that call to repent more than the Jewish leaders who who were so concerned about superficial purification. God makes that call to repent also to you and to me. God's call to repent even enables us to turn in sorrow from our sin, to trust Him to forgive our sin, and to want to do better than to keep on sinning. When we so repent, then God forgives us each individually. He forgives us each individually because of Jesus' death that won forgiveness for all people collectively. When we so repent, then God forgives our sins of sexual immorality, our sins of the other 11 vices on the list, or whatever else our sin might be. God forgives our sinful natures and all our sin for Jesus' sake. Today's hymn of the day was originally written by Christian L. Scheidt, an 18th century German professor, who apparently before he wrote the hymn had studied both philosophy at the University of Göttingen. I knew if I tried to say it, I'd trip over it. Been out of German class too long. The University of Göttingen, you got to say it with the O umlaut, Göttingen. He studied philosophy in order to better understand the thoughts and works of men. And then he also studied theology at the University of Halle to better understand the things of God. And he seems to have learned both lessons well. By one account, few hymns surpass Scheidt's hymn that we sang on the subject of grace. As we sang, by grace, God's Son, our only Savior, came down to earth to bear our sin. By grace, God's Son, our only Savior, came down to earth to bear our sin. Nothing we could do ever would bring the God-man Jesus here, but he came out of his love for you and for me, mercifully to die on the cross and so to earn the forgiveness that he now gives to us who repent by grace through faith in him. All unnatural sexual sin, the other 11 vices, and all other sin, God not only condemns it, but he also forgives it. God forgives all of our sin by grace through faith in Jesus. God forgives our sin and our sinful natures in the ways that he has given for us to receive his forgiveness. Today's intro reminded us that God washes us from our iniquity and cleanses us from our sin with the water and the word of holy baptism. There, at the baptismal font, God creates in us clean hearts that do not defile us. And there, he renews a right spirit within us that begins to bring forth the virtues instead of the vices. When we still fail to live as we should, as we will fail, since our sinful natures still cling to us in this life, we return to our baptisms with daily contrition and repentance. And we privately confess to our pastors the sins that we know and feel in our hearts, so that he can individually absolve them by Christ's command. So baptized and absolved, we from this altar eat bread that is Christ's body and drink wine that is Christ's blood, given and shed for you and for me for the forgiveness of our sins. At this rail, we receive something from outside of us that goes into us and makes us holy, sets us apart. Far more important than food and drink in keeping with Jewish kosher, Muslim halal, or any other dietary restrictions, this food and drink is clean and healthy and gives us eternal life and salvation. God's word and sacraments graciously give us the forgiveness of sins, and in so doing, they change us utterly. They turn us inside out, we might say. We are clothed in the full armor of God that we heard described in today's epistle reading. And so with God's help, we stand in the face of all opposition. We who are clothed, for example, with the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, will have many afflictions. But as today's gradual reminded us, the Lord will deliver us out of them all. Ultimately, we who are in Christ are pure in heart. As today's verse reminded us, we will see God. We shall be with him. And on the last day, we will have resurrected and glorified bodies, free of any corruption, inside and out. Publicly wearing clothes that are inside out may bring some embarrassment, but as we have realized in reflecting on today's gospel reading, that embarrassment is far less than the defilement, the separation from God that results from the evil thoughts that are inside of us, that come out of our hearts, sinful by nature. God knows us thoroughly, inside and out, we said. And God enables us to repent and believe in the God-man Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. He restores our relationships to him, and he transforms us utterly, inside and out, we said. So we can say again and again, as we sang in the hymn of the day, "My heart is glad. All grief has flown since I am saved by grace alone." Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.